You're listening to the Hour of the Time. I'm William Cooper. Let's go right straight to Phoenix for the Metal Report with Frank Marzullo. Good evening, Frank.
Good evening, Bill. Seen an awful lot of volatility in all the markets as of late. It's indicative of, in essence, market peaks when you start seeing this type of activity. We've seen the Dow last week, it lost almost 200 points, started retracing this week, and then all of a sudden it started losing again. Gold has been going down. Now, that's not really surprising given the market behavior. Fairly large investors, not the super rich, but those people that are not the elite but still have money, these people will hedge their positions. They always do hedge their positions with gold. When you start losing in your market and you've got a lot of margin calls, what's the one thing that's instantly liquid that you can make margin calls in a declining market? Gold. So it's pretty, it's expected in this type of a market activity with stocks doing what they're doing to see gold basically get pressed down. The week started out with gold at 393, and as of yesterday's close, it was at 390. The stock market again started retracing, but then it started losing ground and basically closing down in the right around 5,500, 50, somewhere in that vicinity. Don't expect a lot of great things. Expect to see pretty much the same activity for some period of time. It does appear to be petering out. We do appear to be seeing a lot of shifting of assets from very strong hands into the weak hands. Like we pointed out before, we had a lot of, basically, I guess the best way to describe these people are children. You've got guys in their 20s that are operating mutual funds. They were laid off from brokerage firms that are getting ready for what's coming. And these guys, they go out and start their own mutual fund, and everybody jumps on board, and, oh, God, look at these gains we've seen. Well, when you've got that much diversity, different mutual funds out there with run by children, they don't know what's coming. They've never seen bad times. They don't know what bad times are. What's indicative of what's coming is this mutual fund update. It's an outfit called FundMinder. And what they do is they watch a lot of the bigger funds. They are starting to put out a flyer now warning people about the stock market to expect it to go down and go down dramatically. Now, they're trying to make light of it. It's no big deal. You just stay in stocks for the long haul and all this other stuff. But the reality is the information that they're putting out in this little FundMinder brochure is very important. But they talk about the average bear market and the rest of it, and in their own writing, they say, hey, we're in for a serious correction, but they try to downplay it. What's interesting, and again, in line with what you've talked about, no secrets, it's all in the open. We saw a big market decline on Wednesday, 70 points, and AP Wire, one of the quotes from it. IBM's, one of the biggest reasons the market declines was a big loss on IBM shares. IBM's top financial executive warned that currency fluctuations were a big part of the problem. Here we come right back, full circle, to the new currency. We're going to continue to see this be a problem, as we've outlined, and with these new contracts and the rest of it, expect ongoing problems. Expect volatility in gold. The various exchanges are putting increased options, okay, ways to trade gold on paper. And the quote from Wall Street Journal pretty much says it all. These index options are nothing but just another derivative, the purpose of which is to line the pockets of Wall Street firms. People, the best thing you can do is own the real thing. Bank of International Settlements, the central bank's bank. their books are balanced, not in dollars, not in marks, gold, francs. Everything they do is denominated in gold, francs. Do not underestimate the importance of gold to the New World Order, because that's exactly what the New World Order wants you to do. And they downplay the role of gold, and yet they are the ones that keep their own books denominated in gold, and they are the ones that hoard it as well.
They also pay their debts in gold.
Exactly. Okay, but people, so many people I talk to, and so many other people that the other brokers talk to, Swiss America, they say, oh, I'll just go buy gold stocks. Well, that's exactly what the New World Order wants you to do. It's not gold. It's still paper. They, you know, the New World Order covets gold. I mean, these people worship what? Lucifer. What is representative of Lucifer? The sun. What is representative of the sun on this earthly plane? Gold. Do your research. It's right there in all the books. We're seeing it more and more. The New World Order's come. It's like a freight train. Yeah, I know you don't watch a whole lot of TV. There's a lot of ads here. There's a spinoff of AT&T, Lucent Corporation. It's in, what's their logo? This red circle. Okay. Yeah, what are they telling you? They're telling you, right? Lucent. I mean, come on. How obvious can you get?
I love it when they validate 4 years of programming on the Hour of the Time.
Sure. You know, everything you've outlined is happening. And it is happening so fast, the more I read, the more I listen, the more I go back and look through my back issues of Veritas and go through the symbology and the rest of it, the more I see it's everywhere, and it's obvious. It's laid out there. There's no secrets about it. They're going ahead with this full bore. You know, we would like to think that, you know, the things that we have done have slowed them down. I don't think they feel that way. It looks like they're just, you know, they're going ahead full bore. And I think we can anticipate problems very shortly.
Big problems very shortly. You've been watching the media. They are now calling the Hezbollah militia.
Yes.
They're calling all the bandidos and the bad guys in the world militias. They're preparing the populace to accept the destruction of the militias by force.
Did you get that little clip I sent up to you yet? There was a Sunday cutout from Tribune newspapers. It was USA Today, Sunday Magazine, front page thing.
I don't think so.
Delicious. You probably haven't, because it takes a little bit for it to get up there. But I sent it up to you, snail mail, and it's outlining, you know, more demonization of the militias by USA Today.
The other night, Dan Rather called the militias right-wing hate groups.
Mm-hmm. You know, we talked about this, what was it, 8 weeks ago, when my one client held the phone to the radio with NPR, you know, hammering on the militias. And we talked about it 6 to 8 weeks later, expected to be mainstream, and that's exactly what's going on.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, I think it's only going to get worse.
Well, unfortunately, they underestimate the people in this country who love freedom enough that they're willing to fight and die for it.
Well, they do. They underestimate it to a serious degree. They make so. This is why I know we're going to win, because these people just think they're smart. Okay, they're really not. The things that they are doing, the grave mistakes I see them making on a level that it's ridiculous. It's just real basic stuff. They think that, oh, they won't have to worry about it.
Yeah.
But they're going to have to.
If they start a war with the militia, I'm afraid they're going to regret it for all time.
Well, it's not just that, but one of the things that they're doing is, well, Special Forces is a perfect example. I've got some very good friends that have been in that. I've known these people for, since I was in high school. Matter of fact, I'm going to be visiting with some of them. I'm going to be away for a couple of weeks, so I won't be able to do this. I'll fill you in back as to what was going on. But you got guys that are 15 years, you know, or so in that believe, that are learning, are seeing these things. And all of a sudden, they're getting run out. They're getting pushed out of the military.
That's right.
Now, you take these guys that believe in the same things that you and I do. You really make them mad. You deny them their retirement, and you put them out into a populace. Now, I've got a pretty good team put together right now. You give me a Special Forces instructor, we're going to get some real big booty. Okay, these guys are force multipliers, and this is one of the greatest mistakes they're making, is they're pushing these guys out, and they're making them angry. And if we can continue, and I've been able to, my friend initially thought I was crazy. I'd sent him some of your tapes, and he started really listening, started paying attention, And all of a sudden, he's starting to see foreign officers commanding some of the training battalions. And I explained, I sent him public law 87297 and the State Department document 7277. I says, this stuff was done 20, 30, 40 years ago. It was outlined then. Then he started paying attention to what you were saying and what I was saying, and now it's come full circle. I sent Starlet and the Beast to Fort Bragg. I haven't been able to get it yet. As soon as one guy gets it, another guy starts reading it. You know, if we can continue to do this, we're going to, you know, throw this right back in their face, you know,
yeah,
of the New World Order. They're making some big mistakes. But it's still what it, all it means, though, unfortunately, this is going to be uglier, okay, because of, you know, all of the conflict will be far more significant, I think, and far larger, and that's the downside to it.
Well, there is no conflict that has many good sides, except hopefully the right side will win, and we'll know what to do with their win.
Well, that's the most important thing. All too quickly, historically, those that do the fighting go home and leave it to the quote-unquote politicians to reestablish, and then what ends up getting reestablished is what no one wanted.
No more. If we win this war, there are not going to be any more politicians.
Got to carry. We've got, you've got to keep doing what you're doing. You know, the education reference to mystery schools is extremely important, as you and I discussed, how the mystery schools will reestablish, in a chaotic situation. They won't know who to trust, and like you've pointed out, the vast majority of these people do not know the truth. But what will happen in a situation where there is chaos, they immediately recognize that they can trust someone because of the way the handshake is done or because of the verbal recognition. If we can continue to educate and expose these lower level, the blue lodge and the rest of it, to the truth about what's going on at the higher echelon, we can turn the tide where that's going to be most important, and that is when we win. We will win. It's just that we'll win the battle. There's no doubt about it. But we've got to make sure we continue and win the war.
Yes.
That's what people, historically, that's where people have failed. They've not stuck to the guns, and they've lost the war, even though they've won the battle.
Yep, you're right.
And if you,
can win the battle and lose the war.
Hopefully, again, if people pay attention to what you say, pass the word, and get Scarlet and the Beast is one of the better books available because it does a really good job of outlining.
Only if you understand the author.
Yes, you do. You have to understand.
You have to understand
everything he says, 100%, because there's a couple of errors, but
yeah,
the vast majority of the work is right on the money.
Except for one thing, and I've got to say this because it's the truth. The author has an agenda.
And that's,
he is covering
the Catholic Church.
He is covering for the Catholic Church and International Zionism.
Mm-hmm.
He doesn't even mention those two powerful organizations as players in the struggle for the New World Order in his books. And when you listen to him being interviewed on the radio, whenever or if ever you can catch him, this comes out really, really quick that he is... he is covering for those two powers and laying everything directly in the lap of British and French Freemasonry, the oligarchy and international socialism, when in fact these two other organizations are allied with those two groups, and those two groups would not have the power that they do without the alliance of international Zionism and, of course, the Vatican.
Exactly. I've been to the Vatican, Bill. I've seen what a monument to hypocrisy it is. I went there with a couple of my friends. One was a history major at the time. He's now a history teacher. He told me all about, the early period of reference to the Vatican, some of it's just, I won't even get into it, the evil that the popes perpetrated. I've seen the monument to Lucifer right in the middle of the square. They got their obelisk right there.
Yes.
People don't realize that.
If you understand the symbolism, you recognize the continuation of the old mystery religion of Babylon and the Roman Empire.
Right.
And,
right there.
Yeah.
But it's like you point out, you've got to understand. people need to continue the progress. They need to continue the learning. I know a lot of people that I've talked to, ordered the Mystery Tapes, Mystery Babylon series from you to get educated. They need to continue that education. They need to get a Duncan's Ritual. They need to get some of these other things to learn the identifiers, because the only way you can educate others, you need to find morals and dogma. I blew the 32nd degree Mason. He thought he was eighth generation. He thought it was a really good thing. I said, you know who Albert Pike is? Yeah. Great. Yeah, real important to Masonry. You ever read this book? No. Gave him dogma to read. Blew his mind. Went to his dad. Why didn't you tell me about this?
Yeah, it's a blatant admission in there that they worship Lucifer and that it is a religion.
Yes, it says in black and white, Masonry is a religion, and then at the 19th degree, it starts praising Lucifer.
Yes.
And it gets even stronger. It goes into the whole astrological and the rest of it. And when you do that, if we can educate, those lower-level people and expose them to the truth, I think, I know we can steer it around and win the war. But then more and more people need to be educated as the bad aspect of it. Because, the whole Ordo Ab Kaio will come together and bring about a government again.
Yes.
How it's been done in the past. Create chaos, and then everybody else goes home. They go back to their fields. They go back to their families. And the brotherhood reestablishes. We cannot allow that to happen. It cannot happen again. But this one's for keeps. This is for the whole ball of wax. Before it's been nations. Now it's the globe.
Now it's the world. And it's freedom for all peoples of the whole world.
Exactly.
And if we lose it here, we're the last defenders of freedom on this earth. If we lose it here, the whole earth goes back into enslavement like it has been enslaved throughout the history of humankind until this country came into existence.
And once that happens, there's a lot of people who are going to suffer significantly. Truthfully, a lot of those people, that 95% of the individuals out there that think you and I are crazy, I don't care about them. I really don't. I care about the people like you and I that are out there that know, that are working, that are trying to do something.
Yep, that's why I'm so gruff and impatient. I don't have any patience anymore. I don't care about anybody except the people who want to be intelligent, who want to wake up, who want to do something, who want to make a difference. All of the procrastinators, the excuse makers, the people that have been bought and paid for by material things and have no spirituality, who don't understand the concept of freedom and what it means to all of us. I'm just like you. Don't care about them. Don't care what they think. Don't care about their whining and complaining. Don't care about their ad hominem attacks or anything else. They're, in my estimation, they are worthless until they wake up and become real people.
I agree.
They're sheeple. They have the wool pulled over their eyes. They've been hoodwinked. They're on the way.
And they have. And
following the Judas goat to the first the shearing and then the slaughter.
That's it. And if they're going to be so concerned about real things, they're not even inclined to get some protection, that they're inclined to go into denial, well, they're going to get exactly what they deserve. And that's a royal shaft.
The great obelisk. They're going to get the obelisk. Yes, they are.
Yeah, in a big way. Real big way.
That's amazing to me. How many people go to Washington, D.C. and see how the city is laid out, look at the obelisk and the reflecting pool pointed directly at the Oval Office and the White House, and they don't even understand that that's the symbology. The obelisk represents the penis. The reflecting.
Tell me, what does the reflecting pool?
The reflecting pool represents the feminine or the vagina, and the Oval Office is the egg, from where the New World Order will be born.
All right, now I know, because I had to pick up the other pieces, but somewhere along the line I missed about the reflecting pool.
Yeah, and the Oval Office will be occupied by the child Horus. You have Osiris, Isis, and the child Horus. Osiris represents the doctrine. Isis is the church, or the feminine, reflecting the full light of her master, the doctrine, or Lucifer, the sun, the light. And the child Horus represents the full body of adepts, initiates, the Illuminati. The New World Order was hatched in the White House. Our forefathers created it. This whole country was built in order to give the common man freedom, bring down the kings and queens of the world, destroy existing religions by the fracturing of the church into thousands of different little sects and organizations and groups, and bring about the New World Order.
Now, as you've pointed out, if it was in a Republican form, it can be accepted. But in the current state...
Yes, that's why they called it the Great Experiment. Mm-hmm. Because our founding fathers, the depths of the Illuminati, the Magi, if you will, understood human nature. They understood that people have a tendency to sell their soul for security and material possessions and comfort, and in the process give away their freedoms by accepting these favors and these protections and these guarantees from the state. And so it was the great experiment to find out if man could indeed rule himself, and if he could not, he would be placed back in the chains of enslavement. It was as simple as that. And if you read the writings of the founding fathers, it's all there. And they warned us, they told us exactly what to do and what not to do, and they told us what would happen if we did certain things.
Mm-hmm. It's like many people are wont to quote Ben Franklin, "What have you wrought us, a republic, if you can keep it?" That was probably more of a taunt than anything.
Absolutely. It certainly was a taunt. It was a taunt, it was a challenge, and he knew full well that it would not be lived up to.
Well...
They all knew that. They probably understood human nature better than any group of men that I've ever studied in my life.
I'd have to agree with that. Reading everything that they've written, but a good portion of a lot of their material, yes,
they're
extremely intelligent individuals, extremely insightful. There's no doubt about it. Yes, and the great experiment, and I've felt for a long time that it was more, Ben Franklin's comment was more a taunt than a warning.
Yeah, and they were no more Christians than the man in the moon is a Christian, or that Tom Valentine is a Christian, or any of these people who belong to the Illuminati and claim to be Christians. Their idea of Christ is the Christ within.
Mm-hmm.
Man himself is God. And that is their version of Christianity. Our founding fathers were deists.
Yes.
Everything they wrote reflected that. They didn't talk about the God of the Bible.
Yes, they talked about deity, but they didn't specifically.
Yeah. And they did not talk about Jesus Christ. What they talked about was nature's God.
Mm-hmm.
That's deism.
Yes.
Whenever you see that, nature's God, you're talking deism right there. And you can see it if you go to Washington, D.C. and visit the rotunda of the Capitol building. If you look straight up at the painting on the inside of the dome of the Capitol building, you will see every time I go to talk about this, I forget the proper word. It's the word for making man God or man becoming God. After the broadcast is over, I'll remember it. But anyway... it's the title of the painting,
mm-hmm.
And it's the it's George Washington becoming God, and it shows him riding in the chariot of Apollo, driving the horses across the sky, as Apollo did, as Osiris did through the heavens and then down through the underworld after he died. As the child Horus coming up over the horizon, and all around this painting of George Washington riding across the heavens in the chariot of the sun, which was the representation of Baal or the god of the mystery religion of Babylon and of Rome and of many others, are all of the pantheon of gods of ancient Rome, all arrayed around this painting. And the symbolism is everywhere in Washington, D.C. Washington, D.C. was arrayed as the seat of the coming New World Order. It is steeped in mysticism, the way the streets are laid out, the way the buildings are built in relationship to each other. The house of the temple is exactly 13 blocks from the White House. 13 is the number of death and rebirth. I could go on and on and on.
Question. I have a lot of people talk to me, and I've not read this, George Washington's vision. What do you know about that?
What I know about it is nobody ever heard of it until until so many years after George Washington was dead and everybody who was supposed to be connected with it were dead, that it is most probably a fabrication, which I have no problem with it as a fabrication because it promotes patriotism. But there is little proof. In fact, there is no proof that George Washington actually had that vision, or recounted any such vision to anyone. As a matter of fact, now I'm not saying that it's not his vision. There just isn't any proof for it.
Far too good to be true. Let's put it that way.
Well, there just isn't any proof for it, and there is no record of anybody that even lived that could remember ever even seeing George Washington, ever knowing about it.
Okay. Well, that answers that. All right. Well, like I said, I'm going to be away for a couple weeks. When I get back, we can go into a little bit more detail about what I've been doing. I don't want to talk about it now because even though it's all right to be doing, it's something that can be, if somebody heard on this radio program, they could find a way to nix it for me, and I don't want that to occur.
Well, then stop talking about it.
Well, it'll be fun, and we'll talk about it when we get back. But I'm looking forward to it. I'm looking forward to, when I get back, we'll go over a lot of things. But in the meantime, I do have another tip for those people that are paying attention.
Wake up. Tip coming up. Tip. Wake up. Pencil and paper time, folks.
Bags. Empty ones. Two of them. There's a couple things you can do. Have you ever tracked anybody, Bill?
No, as a matter of fact. I've never tracked a person. I have tracked game.
I was trained in tracking when I was with the Sheriff's Department. It was all part of our duties as search and rescue. Now, one of the first things you do is you cut signs. You follow roadways, you follow fence lines, and you look for obvious disturbance where someone has walked through. Then you can get a good footprint with which to work with, and then you start slowly following that footprint using measuring sticks and such. One of the biggest things that you can do if you're in an environment where you want to minimize leaving sign that can be cut is when you're crossing fence lines, when you're crossing roadways, is to tie over your boots, put your boots in as you're wearing them, put these sandbags over your boots and tie them at the top. It will break up your outline of your feet dramatically. It will make it extremely difficult for sign to be cut. The other thing is if you're in a wet environment, a muddy environment, sometimes when you go tactical at night and you're sleeping in a bag and somebody else is keeping an eye on things, you leave your clothes on. You leave your boots on. It's not a real good idea to leave your boots on, but sometimes it's necessary, and they'll be muddy, and you don't want that dirt on the inside of your sleeping bag. The sandbags will come in handy to keep your sleeping bags clean as well. But it's very important from a tracking standpoint if you're wanting to minimize what you leave for others to follow you with, is that anytime you're looking to cross in a roadway or wherever there's loose dirt or the possibility of sign getting cut, put the bags on your boots and walk with them that way, and it'll minimize that to a great degree.
Although I have never done any tracking of people, a couple of probably the best trackers in the whole country live not very far from here, and I know one of them. And in fact, in our first conference that we had, he taught a class several hours on tracking.
If you have a measuring stick, it makes it a little easier because what you'll do is you'll find the heel. You try to find a heel contact point. One of the first things when you take a guy down to prison, what they do is they slice their heels. They notch the heel, make it easier to pick up the track, okay, and also to distinguish it from other tracks. So you try to catch that, and you try to catch another print so you can get the stride. You just take your measuring stick and you swing a little arc. You look in that arc for additional sign to keep fresh. Tracking, to do tracking is very tedious. It's a difficult process, especially in terrain where it's not real conducive to that. But, one of the ways, again, to minimize it is where you can anticipate them trying to pick up your track, put these bags over your feet, and it's going to make it a lot more difficult because it's going to be hard to distinguish. They're not going to get a good imprint that they can follow. It's going to get lost in the shuffle.
Yeah, elephants know about that. That's why they paint their toenails red.
There you go.
Do you know why?
No, I don't.
So they can hide in the strawberry patch.
Okay, yeah, makes sense to me.
Have you ever seen an elephant in the strawberry patch?
I haven't. It must work then.
It works very well.
All right, well, Bill, is there anything else that you got for me?
No.
All right, well, I enjoyed it this evening. Look forward to talking to you in a couple weeks' time.
Okay.
And, well, you take care. Be careful. What can we expect on this eve of April 19th of Patriots Day tomorrow?
Well, I hope nothing happens. I really hope nothing happens. I've seen and heard so many preparations and so many build-ups of federal people in certain areas and surveillance of people that I know that they're expecting something to happen, and I certainly, in lieu of their past history and their fondness for this day, I expect international socialism to
somewhere to
kill somebody somewhere, because it's the spring and Baal must have his human sacrifice in the mysteries and to ensure the fruitfulness of the coming year.
What was interesting is there was something on television that was talking about the McVeigh situation, and it was trying to go back a little bit. 1985, Arkansas, April 19th, standoff with some quote-unquote white. In mind, this is global as well. It's not just here in America that April 19th is Patriots Day, because us, you know, the United States as the seat of the New World Order, as you just outlined. You know, I think there's a lot of other nations where something can occur as well.
Well, certainly, it's the day of the spring sacrifice to the pagan god, so that they can ensure the fruitfulness and the success of the coming year, and they must have human sacrifice, and the sacrifice must be culminated with fire.
Fire.
So, we'll see. I hope they don't kill anyone. I sincerely do. And
unfortunately, they've been doing it for so many years, and we haven't picked up on it until ever.
Yeah, they've been doing it for so long that I expect them to do something. What and where, I do not know.
Fortunately, we won't know until the 20th.
Yep.
Well, Bill, again, it's been a good evening. We'll look forward to talking to you again, and we'll have a lot of things to go over with at that point in time.
Okay.
Have a great evening, sir.
Take care.
Bye-bye.
Good night.
My country is of thee, sweet land of liberty. Of thee I sing, land where my father died, land of the pilgrim's pride. From every mountain side, let freedom ring. My native country be land of the noble free. Thy name, my love, I love thy rocks and rills, thy woods and templed hills. My rapture thrills like that of us.
Let music swell the breeze and ring from all the trees, sweet freedom's song.
Let mortal tongues awake,
Ladies and gentlemen, I want you all to listen very carefully to me as I give you this little bit of advice, and I hope that you will follow this advice. The priests of the mystery religion of Babylon need a sacrifice tomorrow, a human sacrifice. And they have been sacrificing humans now for many years in a row. Most of us never noticed the connection with the date or the spring. Most of you never understood the religion of the ancient mystery religion of Babylon and ancient Rome. You never would have believed, probably, that it is in existence today and is in control of our government. It is not our government. Our government is the Constitution for the United States of America, the Bill of Rights, and the constitutions of each of the 50 states. Those are the governments. Our governments have been infiltrated and are now in control of people who are bent upon destroying our governments and us. They want a one-world totalitarian socialist government. They want the abolition of ownership of all property and many, many other things. They want to do away with the concept that man has rights and replace it with the dictate that if you're good, you may have a privilege, but never a right, and the privilege can be granted or taken away at any time. All of you who are known to be patriots and militia members, tomorrow, I advise you to be extremely careful. Stay away from anything that could cause you to become enmeshed in some unforeseen predicament or incident. All of your people who have acted stupidly, have big mouths, say the wrong things, talk about revolution, the idiots, the airheads I'm talking about, keep them under control, out of the limelight, away from the press, away from law enforcement and military personnel. Watch the news. Listen to the radio. If you are a militia member, be ready to answer the call at a moment's notice and obey the orders of your officers. I sincerely hope, and I pray, and I'm going to be praying as much as I can tonight, that nothing happens tomorrow, and that no one is killed, and that Baal goes without his sacrifice this year, and Moloch, and Jupiter, and all of the rest of them. And I hope that you will join me in that prayer. The Senate brought out of conference committee the mesh between the Senate version and the House version of the anti-terrorism bill. H.R. 2703 will be up for final vote maybe tomorrow, if it has not already been done at the later sessions of this day. I may have missed it. It has already been approved by the Senate, I understand, and is in the House of Representatives. But if I were you, I would call my representative and my senators and to make sure that they know that their political career is over if they pass the anti-terrorism bill in any form. There are already laws in the books making it illegal for any act that any terrorist could ever perform. What this bill does is attack viciously the Bill of Rights. It attacks viciously our protections for our God-given rights. And it will make a serious, and I mean serious, ladies and gentlemen, dent in our ability to be free people. It is, in fact, something that Hitler would have loved to have had as a tool. The wiretapping provisions and other eavesdropping and meddling powers that it gives the government are draconian. And this must be stopped. Here's the Capitol switchboard number, 1-800-962-3524. 1-800-962-3524. Let them know that you're not going to settle for anything less than no vote. No anti-terrorist bill whatsoever in any form. No compromises, no nothing. 1-800-962-3524. You can be connected to the switchboard by calling that number, 1-800-962-3524. Ask to speak to your representative. And rake them over the coals, folks. Tell them, no way. This is a free country inhabited by free people. This is not Nazi Germany. And Schumer, as much as he probably thinks he is not Hitler. And we're not going to allow him to be, or any of these other Nazis that are trying to subject us to Gestapo state police tactics. And while you're at it, call the Republican National Committee and tell them that Dole's not going to be president and the Republican Party is no longer going to be a viable party if they support the anti-terrorism bill. We're tired of Dole's treason. Dole is a traitor. He's a liar. Everything that he's ever supported in the conservative or the American cause, he has reneged on and done a 180-degree about-face at the last moment, usually in the dead of night or on a holiday, behind our backs. And then he says, well, I had to compromise to get our provisions in the bill. Bullshit. Bob Dole is committing treason, and Bob Dole knows it. And now he knows that we know it. So tell him that. No presidency for Bob Dole. We don't want Bob Dole representing conservatives or Republicans or anybody who's a real American who understands and loves freedom. Because Bob Dole has proven that he doesn't even know the meaning of the word, along with most of the rest of it. Now I have a little bit of sad news here that I want to relay to all of you. One of our best people in Oklahoma, who has worked for the cause of freedom all of his life, is seriously ill and may be on his deathbed. And I would like to ask that everyone listening to this broadcast say a prayer for Bill Johnson tonight. He published a small but very effective Patriot newsletter in Oklahoma City. He probably had more sense and more knowledge than almost any other militia type in Oklahoma, and he was better equipped. He has been seriously ill for quite some time. He's rallied a couple of times, and he's endured a couple of rounds of really intense chemotherapy, which probably contributed greatly to his premature, serious illness. He has probably, ladies and gentlemen, gone into his final decline. He is unconscious now most of the time. He is unaware of his surroundings when he is conscious. He is skeletal in appearance, wasting away. And for those of you who know him and love him, I want to prepare you by telling you that he will probably go to meet his maker within the next 48 to 72 hours, if that long. His mother has been looking diligently for a source of morphine for him to relieve the tremendous pain that he is constantly in, but probably will not be able to acquire any in time. I must say that the lapses of consciousness are a blessed release from his continual suffering, and I hope that he will be relieved of that suffering peacefully in his sleep. And I hope that when he meets God face to face, that he'll put in a good word for the rest of us. It is a shame, ladies and gentlemen, to see good patriots become the fallen prematurely, especially before realizing the end that they have worked for all of their lives. And we all know that that end is within reach. There will be a tremendous battle and tremendous suffering, but I and many others believe that we will be victorious and that freedom will prevail. We've all worked so hard to try to awaken enough people so that none of this ever has to happen. But it appears that even if we were successful, they're still going to force some incident that will bring it about. We will not start it. That much I can pledge to you, and has been pledged to Bill Johnson and many others who are important people to us. Bill Johnson at one time was under consideration for the command of a four-state area. But because he was so ill, another choice was made, which turned out to be as good or better. And we don't believe that if we had offered the position to Bill Johnson that he would have accepted. Because of his high standards and sense of responsibility to others, he was always aware of the brevity of time left to him, and he was very careful to leave no loose ends or unfinished business because of his illness. He was recently, ladies and gentlemen, visited by the Federal Bureau of Investigation because of his patriotic publications and his computer bulletin board traffic. Now that will not matter anymore. He's been a friend to many, a stalwart supporter of freedom, an outspoken opponent of government excesses, always documenting and sourcing his statements. And these days, that is a very rare commodity in the patriot community, where so much bullshit and outright lies and deception are passed from hand to hand as if it were absolute fact, with nobody checking anything or verifying any of it. Bill Johnson was never guilty of that. He has my greatest admiration. He was a good man, who to his very last conscious effort stood for something valiant and noble. He sacrificed his worldly goods even to the point of avoiding proper medical care so that he could continue to support the cause of liberty. All of those who knew him or read his publications knew that nothing was more important to him than the restoration. Of this country and of our freedom. And in that respect, ladies and gentlemen, we can and we will remember with pride all of his contributions, his fearless stand, and his unmovable dedication to what is right and true. Would that such a thing could be said of all of us when our days on this earth come to an end. I hope that someone in Oklahoma has taped this broadcast, and if there are a few moments in Bill's final hours that he is lucid and able to understand, I hope that someone will play this tape for him so that he will know, so that he will finally know how much his work was appreciated and how much we all love and care for him, and that he will be sorely missed. More than I can possibly say. So many of our best people are never recognized and are out there in their anonymity, unappreciated, unknown, working tirelessly for the good of all. With that, ladies and gentlemen, I don't believe that I'm going to be able to continue this broadcast, so I prematurely, I know, and I apologize for that, wish you all a very good night. And God bless you. God bless you, Bill Johnson. And tonight, you will be in all of our prayers.
Tomorrow all the things were gone, worked for all my life, and I had to start again with just my children and my wife. I thank my lucky stars to be living here today, but the flag still stands for freedom and they can't take that away. From the lakes of Minnesota to the hills of Tennessee, across the plains from sea to shining sea, from Detroit down to Houston and New York to LA, where the pride in every American heart, and it's time we stand and say. The men who died the race, no doubt.